Welcome to Examining Scripture. We seek to encourage believers in Jesus Christ to drink from the Word of Life. As God's revelation to mankind, we want to demystify the Bible and help you find what God has to say about the circumstances you're facing. We're not pastors or theologians. We're sinners just like you who, by the grace of God, have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. If we can thirst for Scripture, so can you. Hi, I'm your host, Bob Redd, along with co-host Nancy Carmichael. Thank you for joining us in another episode of Examining Scripture. Welcome. For those of you who have listened to episode 1 and 2, will know that what has become Examining Scripture came out of a 4-part series originally aired on the Eastern Hills Church website. This is part 3 of that series. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Immeasurably More podcast. I am your host, Nancy Carmichael, and we are smack dab in the middle of a 4-part series called Searching the Scriptures. And I say we because I'm not here by myself. Oh, no. We have Bob Redd with us this morning. Good morning.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And I said good morning, but I don't know what time people are going to be listening to this. It could be in the smack dab in the middle of the evening or whenever.
That's right. So hi to the audience.
Hi to you. Hi to all of us. So really glad to have you here, Bob.
As am I. Yeah, it's exciting.
All right. So we're just diving right in. Like there's no preamble today. Although, let's do a little bit of a recap because I said we're smack dab in the middle. This is episode 3. Can you believe it?
I can't.
Episode 3. So we're more than halfway there. So let's back up a little bit. Let's tell our audience what we've been talking about.
Sure. So let's start at the beginning. Why are we doing a Searching Scripture podcast to begin with, or series? And the answer is, or the thesis is, that as believers, we can sometimes be intimidated by the Bible. And so what we're trying to do today and in the earlier podcasts and one more yet to come is to try and give some identifiers and some help on how people might go about delving into the Bible to find answers. The Bible certainly has answers on everyday life, our entire walk. And there's ways we can go find that wisdom. And so that's what this 4-part series is all about. In the first series, we're going to talk about the Bible and Scripture. We need to really define, is it enough? And we did that. And we, Martin Luther said, the Scriptures are sufficient. He put it in his term of Latin, sola scriptura, which means we only need Scripture. And so we looked at that and fell on 2 particular verses. One was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which says Scripture, all Scripture is God-breathed, right? And it is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training up in righteousness.
So right, and I'm watching him say that. He's not reading it. He's memorized that, people. You can do it, too.
You absolutely can do it, and there's a whole topic there. And the other one we fell on was 2 Peter, and that's in chapter 1, 20 and 21, and it says essentially that know this one thing, that no prophecy of Scripture is ever a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy has been conceived by the will of man, but man, inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God.
So in other words, if I'm going to the Bible saying, well, this is what I want the Bible to say, and I'm going to find it, come what may, that is not the right approach. Is this what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Bible, the beauty of the Bible is it's been written over 1,500 years or so, and it corroborates itself, meaning it always is infallible and one need not lean on one scripture. You always can find multiple scripture pointing to the same thing. In this case, is the Bible God's word, which is really where we went to in the second podcast to say, okay, logic says if, which we believe wholeheartedly that scripture is from God, right? It has multiple authors, almost some 40 authors, but it really has one author, and that is God, the Holy Spirit, breathed into the authors. So then what is it about the Bible? And in the second podcast, we talked about how the Bible tells us God, who God is, if you will. It is God's revelation to mankind about himself. And so we can, through Scripture, learn all about God. And why would we do that, one may ask? And the answer is, we are made in God's image, and if we're made in God's image, then we may want to know something about ourselves, and if we want to know about something about ourselves, we ought to know something about the one who created us.
Well, that's interesting that you put it that way, because, yeah, I think most of us, and I'm raising my own hand, even though you can't see it out there. Most of us are very interested in knowing ourselves, right? Because there's no end to, like, the, you know, the personality quizzes and what are you on the Enneagram, which is a whole other subject, but we won't go there today. But, you know, searching ourselves, right? And yet what I'm hearing you say is, you know, if you really want to know who you are, get to know who made you. That's going to tell you a lot about yourself.
That's absolutely right. Okay. And there's no greater authority than the blueprint of he who made us.
Amen to that. So, yeah, so that's a great recap. So, you know, we've talked about, is scripture enough? And spoiler alert, the answer is yes. And who is God? You know, so we can find all these things out by searching scripture. We don't cherry pick. We talked about that last time. So the cherry picking being defined as, oh, I'm going to find one verse and one verse alone to support what I wanted to say, and that's the end of the story. No, that's not what we do.
No, it's not, actually. Actually, we talked to some extent the last podcast about how we have to have really a true open mind. And the beauty of the Holy Spirit is he gives us that. And as we search the scripture, as we find truth, which the scriptures are God's truth, and we find out what he has to say, it may conflict with our own thought process and worldview.
Wait, are you telling me there's no such thing as your truth, my truth? What are you telling me, that I can't just have my own personal custom-made truth?
Well, I'm telling you that people do have their own custom-made truth. Then that is a part of what makes this world what it is, in the sense that we see a lot of fallenness, and we see a lot of strife. We see a lot of disagreement among people in various forms, whether it's arguments, war, what have you.
And, well, yeah, because if only everybody thought exactly like me, we would all get along, right?
Isn't that the truth? And the reality is that Scripture tells us really the foundation of what we ought to believe and what we ought to think and how it should shape our worldview, what we call biblical worldview.
Right, and it all goes back to who God is, right? And
amen.
So we're going to springboard off of that today, because I'll just say this, though. One thing, because this is bigger than us. It's not about us, right? We're a part of it, but it's not about us. It's about our Creator, who, by the way, is knowable. And that's a big statement to say. So, well, can we know everything? No, we can't know everything there is to know about God, because we're not God. And yet he still wants us to know him. And that's why he's given us the scriptures, so that we can get to know him.
Yeah. And that is really, when you think about it, that is just awe-inspiring. And it is just something to ponder in and of itself, that we have a Creator that loves us so much that he wants to commune with us and he wants to have a relationship with us, which really segues into today's podcast. And each day, or each podcast, we tried to make it practical. And so we've fallen on maybe a statement or some form of topic that we wanted to use to kind of show you how you might be able to go find answers or the truths from God's point of view. So today's podcast, we're kind of focusing in on an interesting place, which is called the catechism. So in our Catholic brothers and Episcopal brothers.
Oh, yeah. I remember that word. I do.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I'm so excited. I'm jumping right in, but I'm doing it. There's a purpose behind me just rudely interrupting you. So, yeah. So I want to hear more about this catechism in a second. So I think what we're about to get into, this is, you know, we've talked about God's word is reliable. He wants us to know him. Today, I circled a word on our show notes, right, to prepare for this. The word I circled was response. So what is our response to all of this? What are we going to do with all of this wonderful stuff that the Bible has to offer us? And I think maybe that speaks into this catechism that you're talking about. But wait. First, can we hit the pause button right now? We're going to keep recording, but sure. I want to pause a second because one thing we haven't done yet, now that we're 11 minutes into this conversation, I want to get to know Bob a little more. So you've been telling your story a little bit in the first few episodes. So today, and I didn't even set you up with this question, so this is going to be totally off the cuff. So Bob, tell us about your own journey with the scriptures. Like, were you born with a Bible in your hand? Did you just have all of this downloaded knowledge and wisdom and insight from a very young age? Or what did that journey look like?
Well, it's a great question. So I came to Christ, and that's a whole different story we can have maybe some other time. I came to Christ my first year of college. And I had spent a lot of time in church as a young child, and walked away. Who needs God? And was influenced by some people in high school and in early part of college. And actually, that influence is kind of what brought me back, or how God used that influence to bring me back to Christ. And that's a long story. What's interesting out of that is my brother used to work the post office in the graveyard shift, and running pretty hard, as I was before I came to Christ. And he slept during the day, and one day he got a knock on the door from Jehovah's Witness, which clearly is a cult, and they want him over. And so from an early period of my walk with Christ, my brother and I used to have what I would call Bible fights, and I'm not proud of that.
Bible fights, that sounds like a good reality show right there.
Yeah. So
Sunday, Bible fights.
So anyway, long story short, I tried to show and explain to him the fact that the reality of Christ and the Jehovah's Witness have a alternative reality of Christ, which is not an accurate depiction of who our Lord is.
Right. So from a young age, you became interested in, okay, I got this brother, he believes this stuff, what's this stuff all about? So it sounds like that was maybe the catalyst for your own journey to find out, what is this all about?
You know, it really was. And it's also part of my passion here why we're having this podcast, because obviously my brothers continue to be a Jehovah's Witness. He's influenced his kids, which is my niece and nephew. And what's really interesting about cults, and Jehovah's Witnesses no different, is they teach their people very early on statements of faith, and misguided as that faith is. And what I see in our Christian community is a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus don't have that solid foundation. We tend, unlike the cults, to let the spirit of our brothers and sisters work its way in them. And that's not a wrong way. That's a very right way to go. But what that can do for those who are younger in the faith is it can lead to them being uncertain of why they believe what they believe. And because they don't spend time in Scripture to really dig down deep as to, you know, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that sometimes they can be bullied, swayed, or whatever, in it from an argumentation standpoint, particularly from either atheists or cults or any other form of quote-unquote religion that's at odds with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so let me see if I can. I'm going to distill this down in ways that my simple mind can understand what you're saying. It sounds like what you're saying is, you know, it's great to be led of the Spirit as we're approaching Scripture, because that's what we do, right? Especially for the Christians, Christ in us via the Holy Spirit. That's really good. But it also doesn't mean that we shouldn't have discipline. I'm using a lot of negatives. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be without discipline. In other words, we should. It's okay to be disciplined, right? It's okay to have some disciplines.
Right, and we should be encouraged and have a thirst to want to know more about why we do or why we believe what we believe.
Right, to know how, or to know more and to know why, and then it leads into how. Now I'm going to, one more little rabbit trail, and we're going to come back. Let's see if we can do this. So you've mentioned the word cult a couple of times. I would love it if, for purposes of this conversation, could you define what you mean when you say cult?
Sure. It's a inaccurate belief about a spiritual reality. And so a cult really says, believe in me or believe in something. And it's really not based on truth.
So an unbiblical set of worldviews based. Usually it's centered around a person.
Well, it is. Yeah. But in any way, I mean, you can also claim that money could be a cult.
So I wanted to kind of clarify that a bit because, you know, we're not talking about the occult, right? That's a whole different thing.
Don't go there.
I think that it's good to have that baseline so that we can go on with this discussion. Now we're going to come back on the trail. So, you have this journey, you're searching the Scriptures, and let's go back to that, and then we'll get into episode 3.
So what propelled me is the fact that I was frustrated that my brother was far better prepared. In the fact that he used Scripture,
right?
I would argue abused or misused Scripture, and because he was far more prepared, he was far more led and trained by the cult, if I will. He came across more authoritative. He came across more certain of why he believed what he believed, and I was embarrassed and frustrated. And I said, it shouldn't be that way. And the answer is no, it doesn't have to be that way. Why don't you know Scripture as well as he does, but know its truth?
And here we are. And here you are today.
Here I am today. And my passion, what's on my heart, is to try anytime I can to help others unlock and unleash and open up Scripture in practical ways that help them, as we said in an earlier podcast, a lot of times as Christians, we will say, well, read the Gospel of John, and that's really a great place to start. Or, you know, read 1 John, the epistle, the letter, and that's another great place to start. But there's times where we as Christians have questions about our faith, and questioning our faith is a very good thing. And so long as you have a very open mind as to what the answer is, and so that you search it where there is truth being Scripture.
Right? Yes. Going back to not your truth, not my truth. Hey, if it happens to agree, that's good. But when we bump up against things like, well, I don't believe that, or I don't like that, that makes me uncomfortable. That's what you're talking about.
I am. And that's where we learn about ourselves. That's where we learn how ought we live our lives, and not look at how others live their life and give an excuse for me to live my life. How ought I ought to be living my life? And the answers are in Scripture.
Okay. All right. I think we have established some great groundwork, and now it's time. Let's do this. Finally, this is like the sermon intro, right? The 20-minute sermon intro. Let's get into the message today. So response, what do we do with this wonderful knowledge?
Yeah, that's right. So the response, there's two answers to that, and we're going to tackle one today, and our next podcast we'll tackle the other. Those two are, if the Bible is true, and we believe it is, and if it's God's revelation to us about himself, well, then there's two important questions. The first is, then, how do we respond? What is our response to God? And the second one is, what is our response to our fellow brothers and sisters in humankind, if, in fact, and we are made in God's image? So today we're going to focus on that. I picked the shorter catechism, and if you turn to number one, it asks the question, and catechism.
That's right, catechism. We're back to that. Thanks.
So catechism's a list of important, deep questions and answers to those questions out of the Bible. And as I mentioned, they sort of came out of the Catholic and Anglican perspective, if I will. And so, you know, the shorter catechism, number one asks, you know, what is the chief end of man? Like, what are we here for?
Mm-hmm. I love the answer.
And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy him eternally. And what I added to that, just because I had to.
Bob's catechism
is, I say in the beginning, to know God, to glorify him and to enjoy him internally.
Right. And okay, now I'm gonna add yet to it, but I don't think we're really adding. I think we're doing what the Amplified Bible does. We're
enriching it.
Yes, we're enhancing. We're adding words to help us understand what's already there. Because to know him is to enjoy him, right? To know him is to love him, right? As the song goes. And that's true. To really enjoy God, we have to get to know him. And the more we know him, the more we love him, the more we enjoy him eternally.
Oh, that is spot on, Nancy. And you know, it's interesting because our English language is a highly generalized language. And the Bible uses, obviously, Hebrew, some Aramaic, and a lot, mostly Greek, in the New Testament. And so the beauty of Greek is it's a highly specific language. And when we talk about love, there are four different words for love in Greek. The first is eros, which we think of as a passionate love. The second is philo. We think of sort of brotherly love.
Philadelphia.
There you go. Yep. The third is storge. And storge is the kind of love that a mom and dad would have for their sons or daughters, and vice versa, what a child would have for their parents.
A familial love.
A familial love. Great word. And the highest order of love is agape love. And this love is, in our world, the kind of love, ideally, that a husband and a wife have for each other. It's a intimate, deep love that really goes beyond comprehension. And this agape love is the kind of love that God has for us to know God. We want to know agape, know love God at his level, at that deep, intimate level.
Right. And I love your distinction there because, you know, I've heard it say, you know, the familial love, the storge, like, you know, a parent's love for the child. Well, in many ways, it is ideally, and it usually is, it's unconditional, at least one way, right? The parents love their children unconditionally. And I've always heard that attached to agape, which is also true. It is unconditional. But the distinction that the word that you used was intimacy, right? So it's not only agape, it's not only an unconditional love, but it is an intimate knowing, which you don't or you shouldn't have that within a family per se.
Correct.
Between, you know, siblings, mothers, fathers, their children. So it's all of the unconditional plus the intimacy. I know you inside and out. I know the numbers of hairs on your head. I know everything about you, and I still love you. So that yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and for you to pick up on, when we talk about knowing God, it's really having that intimate knowledge. And so if you were, let's come back to being practical here. If you were wanting to search know and God, you would get quite a few returns. And if you looked at it, there's a wonderful psalm. The psalmist writes in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." And my wife, her translation's even better. It's, "Be still and know that I am God." And what does that really mean? Well, to be still, to cease striving, is to, in any circumstance here in our lives, to know that we have this advocate for us, that we have God the Almighty, that is our power, our Redeemer, the person who, regardless of your circumstance, is always looking over us and, more importantly, willing to walk with us through whatever it is that we're going through.
I love it. I love it. You know what? I love it so much. I'm just going to keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. So if we know God, so a part of it is, you know, this agape love, this intimate knowledge is important because Jesus says it one time. It's very, very an important statement that even the demons know God. Right? And they're clearly the enemy of God. So we're not talking about awareness.
Right. Right. We're not talking about knowing about, right? We can know all about God. Like any fan, right? A Bills fan. Hey, I know all about Josh Allen. I know his stats. I know this. I know that. And that's the extent of my football knowledge. I know who Josh Allen is. But you know, it is an important, again, distinction, I think. And I know books have been written about this. Kyle Eidelman comes to mind. He wrote a book called Not a Fan. The difference between knowing all about God, being his number one fan, and knowing him. That's a big difference.
It really is. And so part of the answer to knowing God is the second part of our practical statement, which is to glorify God. So what is glorify? Well, if you search in the Bible, you'll come across a bunch of different statements, but it's not as rich, if you will. So you can think about glorify differently. What is the way we glorify? Well, you know, in our Christian community and those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we worship God, right? And there's a lot of different ways we can worship God, but to know him is to worship him. And there's ways we do it, right? We sing praise songs and we sing to him. We pray, right? We rejoice. Something we don't do much of is we can be thankful to God. Right.
Yep. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Right. That's how it was set up from days of old. If you want to enter into that intimate place, right? And then now we're getting into it now. But this is good. You know, in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, that most intimate place, you can't even get into the gates of that place unless you have thanksgiving in your heart.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so if you do some searches, say, okay, I want to see what about rejoicing or being thankful, you're going to find a bunch of scripture on that. And one of them that I kind of like to point to is in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19. It's just a wonderful, wonderful statement coming from Paul, obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. And, rejoice always, pray without ceasing.
Really? Seriously? Seriously? You expect me to do that?
In all things, be thankful.
That's a tall order.
Yeah, and I think if we were able to be here and had God join the podcast, he might say, you know, I get a lot of petitions, and petitions is another way of saying, you know, requests. But a lot of times those requests kind of are negative. You know, please help me do this. God, why that? I think if God were here being interviewed, he might say that, you know, what he doesn't get enough of is people saying, just thank you.
Just thank you. Yeah. And so I hear what you're saying, you know, and we know for sake of clarity, he's here. He's here in you right now, right? Christ in Bob, the hope of glory. But I get what you're saying that, it actually reminds me of the Truman Show. What's the other Jim Carrey movie? Bruce Almighty. Yeah. And he finds out real quick because he gets all the powers of God, right? And he takes advantage of that to the fullest extent that he can. And then it starts to sink in. He starts to tune into all the prayer requests that are coming from all over the world, and it's billions and billions. And it's all, you know, help me this, help me that. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? But yeah, how often, like at least in the movie, didn't hear a whole lot of, hey, thank you for the sunrise, thank you for the breath in my body, thank you know. And we all have thankful thoughts throughout the day. We do, but it's a reframing of our thinking.
Right? It is, and yeah. It give you some practicality there. There's a person that came that has come to the Bible study, and Nancy knows the Bible study, and her name is Chris. And Chris was in an accident, and her car was totaled. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we prayed for Chris, and when I talked to her, I was like, Chris, I'm so sorry. And she says, oh, Bob, thank you. She said, you know, I just prayed the other day thanking God in advance because I know he's going to find me the right vehicle for the next right vehicle. Mm-hmm. And the just the purity of that faith.
Right. And the rejoicing always, right? As you said, rejoice. Oh, I had a car accident. I need a new car. I'm going to rejoice. Well, yeah, there's always something to rejoice about, whether it's thank God that I wasn't hurt. But what you're saying is thanking him in advance, right? Because we know, she knew, God is good. He's always taking care of me. He's got an excellent track record, so I have no reason to doubt it. So I'm just going to thank him now because I know he's going to take care of me.
Yeah, and there's a lesson there in all our circumstances. Okay, Chris has happened to be a total vehicle in an accident, and she was well and wasn't injured, and that is praise in and of itself. But I think there's a lesson there for all of us. Whatever our walk is, whatever our circumstance that we're going through, I kind of liken it to when, you know, Bob will ask, God, can we do this? And some request I'll have, and it'll be probably pretty life-changing or important from my perspective. And then I go through a period, and those periods can be years, those periods could be months, it varies. But while I'm going through that circumstance, that challenge, that situation, I'm kind of in it, and I'm wrestling with God saying, but this isn't kind of what I was asking for, this isn't what I wanted. And you know, it's only after I get on the other side, I kind of liken it to coming to a bank and crossing a river and being in the torrent of the river, swimming to the other side. And when you get to the other side and you look back, you can kind of see where you come from, but you couldn't really see it in the torrent of the water at the time.
Right, right. That's an excellent way of looking at it because, yeah, nobody knows. We don't know our own future, right? God knows it. So, and because we know he is good, if that is a settled issue, we can thank him, not knowing our future, knowing that he's already on that other side of the bank, right? He's gone ahead of us. And yeah, he knows, and he's going to get us there. We don't even know how, but he's going to get us there.
He does. And and in line with this Immeasurably More podcast, every time, and I want to tell you, every time I've crawled out of the water and stood on the bank and looked back, I see that what I was asking for was really ridiculous to what God had brought me to.
Right. Right. So, all right. So that brings me back to, let's get practical again, right? Because that's what this is all about, searching the scripture. So I'm not necessarily going into it looking for thanks. I'm looking for answers. And yet the result is it points us back to, well, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So there's a gap there. So I'm looking for answer A. God gives me answer Z, right? But how do I get there, right? Because I think I'm looking for something. And so there's that practical process of somewhere in that search is the transformation. But help us get there practically.
Sure. And again, it's back to glorifying and worshiping God. And another way that we show God glory is by having faith. And isn't that what Chris showed? And the Bible, actually, if you searched faith, you'd find a whole bunch of results. And for you young Christians out there, I want to help you out in the sense that if you're pulling up your Bible app and you're using a search like you would with Google, and you search something like faith, you're going to have a whole lot of returns in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And what I'm going to ask you to do if you're new is to try and focus more on the New Testament, because that's where you're going to perhaps find more answers. And if you're going to look in the Old Testament, if you're new again, because you probably don't know the full kind of structure of the Bible, is this also look at the Psalms, which are rich in truths about God, particularly for those of us who are human and have circumstances, and don't we all?
Right. And so, yeah, I will just piggyback onto that to say, I agree. I think to really, if you're new to this whole thing and you want to understand the heart of God, it's just going to ooze off the pages in the New Testament. It's not to say that it's not there. It oozes off the pages of the Old Testament too, but I think the reason that it's good to start with the new is because everything in the old already points to the new. Everything in pre-Jesus is all the prophets, all the writing, it is all pointing to the answer, the restoration, the redemption, right, in Jesus. So, And I'm making this distinction for a reason, because I was just in a conversation last week where someone was saying, yeah, I know somebody like, oh, I don't like the Old Testament God. I like the New Testament God. They're the same God. They're not two different people. So you may look at the Old Testament and say, wow, that's really. Same God, but you're going to understand his heart and his why. And I'm gonna throw this in too. What you're talking about, More than even the how. I mean, there is how, there's discipline, there's searching, there's using that concordance that we brought up. It's, you know, knowing, you know, how to search a term and how to understand it in full context. More important than that, don't throw that away, but more important is how we do it, our approach. Are we entering into even our own Bible searching with a thankful heart, with thanksgiving? Are we entering into it already wanting to glorify him? You know, because that makes all the difference. Because if I'm going into this, well, God, you owe me an explanation and I better find it, that's not quite the same approach, right? This is not about me. This is about getting to know him. And by getting to know him, I am going to learn more about me and I am going to get the answers. Maybe not the way I expected it, right? Right now we're in that series of expecting Jesus in the unexpected. He's going to show up, but probably not the way you think he will.
That's right. That is so true. I mean, what you're really saying is you have to go in with an open heart. You have to go in saying to yourself, essentially, God, I don't have the answers. I know you do. Let me search your wisdom. Let me find your truth. And in that, I can rest assured.
Yeah, because otherwise we're using it like a manual, right? And I've heard people say, well, the Bible is, you know, God's instruction manual for life. Well, there is truth in that, but that's actually a very low level. That's a very shallow way to approach the Bible, because it's more than, well, what can I get out of this to live my best life?
Yeah, no.
You're missing something.
Well, you just said it right there, right? How do I live my best life? And in the answer is there's instruction, but then there's application and there's practice.
Right. There's instruction, there's application, there's practice. But even in that, how do I live my best life? The key word in that sentence is my life, right? And it's not that God's uninterested in your life or in my life, but when I make myself the center of my life, I'm really missing out on knowing God.
You are, or not you, but anybody with that mindset is. And that kind of comes back to the last part of our practical statement, where we enjoy God forever. Right. And the way we do that is to be purposeful and intentional about what I like to say is seeing God in my everyday circumstance. Mm-hmm. And that means if you're driving a car, that means if you're in a business meeting, that means if you're sitting down having coffee with a friend, listening to them and sharing with them. We commune with God. We enjoy Him in prayer. We enjoy Him when we just are looking for Him in our daily circumstance. That to say in the morning, God, I hope I am able to see You in my day and my evening. And then at the end of the night, kind of recapping where God showed up for you in that day. And with that kind of discipline, you'll find that you are enjoying Him.
Yeah. And again, there's that word, discipline. Oh, that's a downer. No, actually, the disciplines are the tools to help us get to this goal of knowing Him, right? It is often a discipline to remind myself to be thankful, right? Oh, because it's so easy to go anyplace else, right?
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes, well, it's justified. If you knew the kind of day I had, well, okay, but there's a reason. It's not just a means to an end. It's to open our hearts, because how can I receive anything, even from reading the Word, if I'm going into it? I mean, yes, show up however you are, but if I'm not open for God to change me, to challenge me, to confront me, to comfort me in His way, in His time, and to be the Lord even over my searching the Scripture, I'm going to miss out not just on the blessing for me, but on knowing Him. Because as you said, that is the goal. That is the goal, is to know Him.
Oh, so much amen to that. And so hopefully what we've showed you in this podcast, or what we've discussed today, is that we have a relationship and can have a deep, intimate relationship with God. And so then that really points to the next, if you will, episode of our podcast, which is, so if we have this relationship with God and God made us and all humankind in His image, well, then what is our responsibility with our brothers and sisters who walk this planet?
How do we take this to them? And I think that's an excellent segue. And actually, I'm going to give a little short shout out to something. We're going to talk more about this in the next episode. But, you know, okay, tools are great, right? They're helpful. They're useful. But only in the context of that relationship that we're talking about. Because if we divorce it from that, then we're just going through an exercise, right? And nobody needs that. We've got a lot of that. But in that context of relationship. So there is a tool that we're going to be talking about a little more in our next episode. And you're going to be hearing it a lot in the language of our church over these next few months. The tool is called Zume, Z-U-M-E. Not Zoom like a conference call, but Zume training. Zume actually means yeast, right? So it literally means yeast. And as we know, this is the good interpretation.
You mean to raise up?
Yes, to raise up, to spread. A little goes a long way. And it's all about, how do we do this? We've been reading the Bible. We've been going to our small groups. We've been doing all this great study and filling ourselves up. What are we going to do with it to the people in our lives? How are we going to share this good news with the people in our lives? And that's what Zume is all about. So that's my little plug for that.
And that's also what we're going to be sharing in our next podcast. Now, we tend to end with some doxology of the Bible, and so I would like to do one differently, if I may, Nancy.
You may.
You'll find this at the very back end of the Bible, right in front of Revelation. It's from Jude. Jude is a single chapter, and on the end of Jude's single chapter, 24 and 25, it says this, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory with great joy, to the one God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be all glory, power, dominion, and authority before all time, now and evermore. Amen."
Amen. We'll see you next time.
Well, there you have it. We've enjoyed our conversation today and hope that you feel more equipped to examine Scripture to find what God has to say about the important circumstances you're facing in your life. Until next time, examine the Scripture, drink from the Word of Life, and let the Bible feed your spirit.